The Public Safety Finance Division will come to order. Thank you, members, and for coming tonight, evening meeting. I just want to explain what we're going to do this evening, and then I'm going to turn it over to the Vice Chair, Arsene Olin, to conduct the meeting until I get an opportunity to present the bill. And after we present the bill, we'll ask Mr. Carter to go through the spreadsheet, and then I will come back and take this position. We'll cover the amendments, and then we'll allow for any public testimony on the bill. So with that, Representative Olin.
First thing on the agenda, while Representative Paymar is getting there, does somebody want to move the minutes April 2nd, 2009? Representative Ward moves the. Is there any corrections or additions? Seeing none, all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The minutes are approved. Representative Paymar, would you like to introduce House File 1657?
I would like to move the DE1 amendment.
Representative Paymar moves the DE1 amendment to House File 1657. Any discussion at all on that? No. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Amendment is adopted.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I just have a few comments here, and then we'll move on with things. But I would like to first thank everyone on this committee for your hard work, your input, your ideas, and determination to construct this finance bill during a very challenging time. I appreciate your the respectful dialogue that we have had over the past weeks. I'd like to acknowledge the GOP members of this committee. I have served in the minority before, and I know that you may have crafted a different bill than this one, but I hope this product reflects most of your priorities. And I'd like to specifically thank Representative Coles, who's not sure where he is, but the lead Republican on the committee, and Dennis Burden, the GOP staff, for being up front with me. I hope that you feel that I was with you also. And to the DFL members, I thank you for your hard work and the support and trust you have given me to work with staff in putting this bill together, and especially acknowledge Representative Olin, the Vice Chair. And I also want to thank Erica Brindleton. Where is she? Erica Brindleton, is she here? Well, she's our page. She went upstairs for all her hard work. She's here evenings and early in the morning getting things ready. She works extremely hard for us. I'd like to thank Jeff Diebel and Becky Purius from House Research. Your help has really been invaluable to me, and your legal minds are greatly appreciated, I'm sure, by the whole committee. Gary Carter, what can I say? We started off this session knowing that we were in a world of hurt, but I remain confident knowing that, in my mind anyway, we have the best fiscal analyst in the House working for this committee. Melanie McMahon is not with us tonight, my committee administrator. She was such an asset to me during the session. Her new child came, as you know, and I know that she's here with us in spirit. And I'd like to especially thank Kate Weeks and Libby Wyrum. When Melanie went out on maternity leave, these two stepped up to the plate big time, and they have worked so hard for me and for this committee, and they've basically done two jobs in a very stressful environment. I don't know how I would have survived this process without you. So let me just say, this target was originally we were asked to cut $66 million out of our division. We ended up with a $52 million target to cut, and this has not been easy. Rather than across-the-board cuts, we tried to prioritize, we tried to be creative, and we demanded efficiencies through reform, I believe, without jeopardizing public safety, and I believe we succeeded in that effort. With cooperation from Representative Hillstrom, who was chair of the Public Safety Policy Committee, we did not include any bills in that committee or this committee that increased bed impacts or cost the court money. And we didn't hear any bills that required new appropriations, much to the chagrin of many workers, of many members who worked hard on their legislation. So I don't relish suggesting these cuts to you, but we have no choice. And with that, I'd like Mr. Carter to go through the spreadsheet.
Mr. Carter, you may proceed.
Members, you should have the spreadsheet in your packets, and we will start out with the Supreme Court. Basically, I'll just be going over the chair's recs for the fiscal year 10 and 11, the biennium. You'll see there that the Supreme Court operation has a reduction of $505,000. Civil legal services, there's a reduction of $194,000. On line 19, we have the Court of Appeals. There, the reduction is $165,000. And the next court is the district courts. The reduction there is $3.996 million. Going to page 2, we have the tax court. The reduction there is $50,000. Uniform Laws Commission, even this small agency, has a small reduction of $3,000. The Board of Judicial Standards, there is a $28,000 reduction. And the Board of Public Defense, there is a reduction of $3.4 million for the biennium. But I also should point out that we have some dedicated revenue coming in from an increase in attorney fees. That will bring in about $1.1 million per year. So their reduction really will be about $1.2 million for the biennium. Homeland Security, here we have, what the chair is recommending here is that the hazmat and CAT teams, these are within, I think, about 10 fire departments within the state, that they be moved from the general fund and be funded out of the fire safety account. So that will be a savings of a little over $1.2 million for the biennium. The Bureau of Criminal Apprehension, the first change item is really, it's on line 74. This is a transfer from the it's the DWI reinstatement fee. There's 80% goes to the lab of the 250, or it's 8% that goes to the BCA, 80% to the lab, 20% for buy funds. This is now a direct appropriation. With this, what the chair is recommending here, along with the governor, is that it go to a statutory appropriation. The next item is on line 78. This is the governor is recommending, and the chair is also recommending, moving this fund, it's for the lab for DWI activities, from the general fund to the trunk highway fund. And until 06, 07, it was in the trunk highway fund and was moved to the general fund during those years. Fire marshal, basically, there is on line 91, there is no change. Alcohol and gambling, or gambling and alcohol enforcement, there is a reduction there of $100,000. The Office of Justice Programs, there is a reduction there of $1.9 million for the biennium. The next page, we have armor. We have on line 120, this is was a change item in the governor's budget that the chair is recommending with grants, and also some grants for locals and emergency communication network. That is at $5 million. And then we have next generation 911 at $9.921 million. That is also recommended. The post board is the next item that's on line 133. Here you'll see that there are two reductions here. The first reduction is to the central office at $70,000 for the biennium. Then we have a reduction to the grants at $300,000. Private Protective Board, a small reduction there of $14,000. And Human Rights, the reduction for the biennium is $216,000. Corrections, the first item that the chair is recommending is the short-term offenders going back to the prison system. Instead, they're going from the jails to the prison system. governor also recommended this in his change item. However, there is a little difference. This says that all short-term offenders as of 7-1 go to the DOC. But those already in the jails will stay in the jail. So they probably will be in the jail. Some will be getting out within the first week, the second week, but they should all be out by 12/31/09. Then the next item is, and there also is an appropriation, I should point out, for that, about a little over $8.9 million. Performance goals, this is the per diem reduction for the DOC. That's the reduction there of 5.7. We're simply saying that they have to reduce their fiscal year 08 per diem, which I believe is $89.77, by 1%. And this reduction, really, it's even less than 1%. It's, I think, 0.9% of 1%. We have a general reduction here of 19,389, the first year, and 19,852,000. But this is partially offset on line 162 by the Federal Stabilization Fund. That will bring in, I think, as the chair said, $38 million one-time money for 10 and 11. The next program under corrections is community services. Here we are going along with the governor's reduction in the pass-through funding of $1.536 million. There also is a general reduction of $1.8 million to community services. And then there is the county relief for short-term offenders. This is the second year. It's simply, this money is simply moved to institutions because it's in their base. Operations support is the next program. There is a reduction there for the biennium of $2.2 million. The last agency that you see is sentencing guidelines. They also have a reduction for the biennium of $36,000. You can see the total for the biennium funding for the agencies under the Public Safety Commission, over $2 billion. Then I just want to go over some of the revenue adjustments. You can see those here. We have one is a transfer from the alcohol enforcement account. This is right now in a special revenue fund that will be going to the general fund at $1.5 million. Then, of course, we have the post-board adjustments. Because they are special revenue, we take it out of the general fund, anything in excess or any savings. We also have some fee increases. I think you can see these fee increases. I think they're spelled out pretty well under here what they're going to. For example, the parking surcharge, there is a $1 increase. You see in parentheses it goes from $4 to $5. The fee increases were based on I think it was Representative Hillstrom's bill, and maybe I should just point out those that are not included. The one fee that is not included is the $1 transcript. We do not have the fine surcharge, which is currently at $75, and there is the jury day fee. The revenue adjustments come to $29.972 million, and you can see that the targets there at $1.776591 is met, as are the sales target. I should just point out that we did have a very large sales target. It was $75 million below base. Then the other item is the attorney fees that we talked about, which will be dedicated to the post board, and that's at $2.2 million for the, or not, excuse me, to the public defender. That's at, I see Neil is smiling, but that's at $2.2 million. I just also want to point out on line 226, the improvement collection effort. It also benefits locals, and the fiscal note on that says local units of government should get an increase of over $10 million for the biennium. The trunk highway fund will get an increase of about $1.4 million. The crime restitution, victims of crime restitution, they will receive an increase of over $6 million for the biennium. And even the DNR will benefit by about $45,000. And that is the spreadsheet, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Paymire, would you like to explain the bill in more detail?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Mr. Carter. Let me just also point out, relative to the spreadsheet, that where we did differ with the governor, in his recommendations, and to be fair, the governor did not have the fee increases and some of the stimulus money that we obviously have used here, but I just want to point out that the cut to the court, the governor was recommending a 2.46% total cut to the court. Ours is 0.79%. The governor recommended a 5% cut to the Public Defense Board. We have a 0.96 cut to the Public Defense Board. The governor recommended almost a 10% cut to the Human Rights Department. We have a 3.1% cut. And to corrections, while the governor had a 2.12% increase, we have a 0.55% cut to the Department of Corrections, so less than 1%. So with that, I would like to just briefly highlight now the actual bill, and I'll go through very briefly with you, and then we can take questions, and then we'll go into the amendments. And I want to just highlight the parts that I think that are new, and on page one of the bill is just a summary of the appropriations. Page two of the bill, the appropriations for the court. You'll see on line 213 that we're asking the Chief Justice to continue the criminal justice forum to evaluate and examine efficiencies and cost savings. On line 2.23, we're asking the court to apply for all available grants for federal stimulus money to continue drug court programs that may lose state funding and to make technological improvements to make the courts more efficient. On line 2.29, you'll see language about filling judicial vacancies. There will be an amendment to this. This current language would preclude the court from certifying any new judgeships or referee vacancies. But we have I have an amendment that will change this somewhat, and I think that the court will be satisfied with that and also get the message that in these difficult times we may not be able to fill every judgeship in the state. The rest is on page three are the other appropriations. On page four, the appropriation of public safety, there is some language here on agency lobbyists, and there will be an amendment also on this area. But the on line 414, we're saying that an important portion of this appropriation may be used to pay the salary of lobbyists. I think it's the belief of the chair and hopefully of the committee that we have enough access to DPS commissioners. On line 418 deals with employees of the governor. Any personnel costs attributed to his office must be accounted for through the appropriations to his office and not through the departments in our division. On line 4.27, we're asking the Department of Public Safety to reduce its car fleet by 20% in the metropolitan area as a cost-saving measure. On line 513, we have some language regarding forensic scientists, and we're asking the BCA, when they're planning and budgeting, to look at to consider regional and local labs when they're considering their scientist needs in the BCA labs in Bemidji and St. Paul. On line 521, this is the governor's recommendation on the lab analysis. On page 6, on line 15, we're asking the Office of Justice Programs to submit a report detailing a plan for how grants are being, the process used for competitive grants, and the plan must describe how they accepted applications. The criteria used in awarding grants and the program reporting requirements. We're also asking the Office of Justice Programs to consider in its awarding of grants, trafficking victim programs, non-profit organizations that deal with families and friends of persons who have died traumatically from suicide or from murder, organizations that provide mentoring grants for children of incarcerated parents, for youth intervention programs, for programs that seek to develop and increase juvenile detention alternatives, for reentry programs for offenders, restorative justice programs, and the judicial branch efficiency program, including e-citation and fine management and collection program improvements. So these are, we're asking them to consider this. Of course, it will be up to OJP. We're also on page 8, on line 8, we're stating in the bill that relative to crime victim programs and youth intervention programs, that if OJP makes reductions, that they not be reduced by more than 3% at the level from the level of state funding provided for the biennium ending in June 2009. So that's crime victim reparations, battered women's shelters, general crime victims, sexual assault victim programs, and youth intervention programs. The next sections deal with starting with line 8.27 on page 8 and page 9 all deal with the 911 armor, which is the emergency telecommunication services, and that goes into on page 10. And on page 11, we have the appropriation for the Department of Corrections, and we also have similar language relative to lobbyists for the Department of Corrections. The belief of me, and hopefully the committee, that we have enough access to assistant commissioners and deputy commissioners during the course of the legislative session and during the interim, where this would not be necessary. We have similar language relative to the governor's personnel on line 11.23. On page 12, we're asking the Department of Corrections to reduce its fleet of cars by 20%. On line 12.16, we're asking the Department of Corrections to submit a report to the legislature looking at alternative chemical dependency treatment opportunities in our institution. And it spells out what we're asking for, that we're asking the DOC to identify alternatives that represent best practices in CD treatment for offenders. To the extent possible, the report shall identify options that will reduce cost of treatment, expand the number of treatment beds, improve treatment outcomes, and lower the rate of substance abuse relapse. On line 13.3, we're asking the commissioner to work to fill all available challenge incarceration beds for both male and female offenders. On line 13.18, as Mr. Carger mentioned, we're requesting that the performance measures for the Department of Corrections be met, and that the per diem reduction be 1%, and that the DOC must reduce the fiscal year 08 average adult facility per diem of $89.77 by 1%. And in reducing the projected adult facility per diem, we're asking that the commissioner must consider the following, but certainly consider other measures to cooperate with the state of Wisconsin to obtain economies of scale, increase the bed capacity at the CIP program, increase the number of non-violent drug offenders for the CRP program, examine alternatives for those offenders who are elderly and infirm, implementing corrections best practices, and implementing cost-setting measures that have been used by other states and the federal government. This is important, members. In requesting this 1% reduction, we are stating that the commissioner must not eliminate correctional officer positions or implement any other measure that will jeopardize public safety to achieve the mandated cost savings. The commissioner also must not eliminate treatment beds to achieve the mandated cost savings. If the commissioner fails to reduce the per diem by 1%, the commissioner must reduce the funding for operations support. On page 15, on line 5, we're asking the commissioner to consider the bed impact savings of drug courts in formulating its prison bed projection. The courts that have told us that I believe they're saving over $2 million a year through drug courts. We're asking that to be considered. We're on line 13, is the phase out of the short-term offender program. On line 16.5, we're still saying that the commissioner can contract with local jails who would be willing to house offenders committed to the custody of the commissioner. On line 15, we're asking the commissioner to apply for all available grants from the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act and also the Second Chance Act. So, and let me just briefly, in Article 2, Sections 1 through 14, Section 16, 20 through 26, 28 through 37, 39 and 41 are all part of the bill that was brought to us by the judiciary to enhance and improve automation and the collection of fees and restitution, and this would be a considerable savings to the court. All of those sections in the bill relate to that. All of the sections in this bill relate to that bill, which was House File 1827. In Article 2, Sections 15 through 19, these are all the court fees that Mr. Carger described in Representative Hillstrom's bill. And in Section 27, again, still in Article 2, this is Representative Smith's bill on interest rates and judgments. And in Section 38, this is Representative Hillstrom's bill that allows the public defenders to charge, or the court to have defendants have a copay, which would go into the public defender fund to defray some of their costs. Let's see what else. And in Article 3, Section 3, this is the DOC performance measures. Again, a Hillstrom bill. Section 1, 4, and 5 of Article 3 are all part of the Representative Beastman's bill on the on controlled substances and the on his bill, which was House File 1126. And in Section 6 and 7 of Article 3, this is another Hillstrom bill. This is the DPS performance measures required. And I believe that's roughly it. There's a on Section 8 and 10 deal with the telecommunications service fee that we talked about earlier. And Sections 9 and 12 are Representative Olin's bill that ends the short-term offender program.
Are there any questions on the specific bill before going to amendments? Representative Cole.
Mr. Chair, I apologize. I had to take a phone call, and so I missed the beginning of Representative Tamar's testimony, and I'm not sure what the process is going to be. Is there going to be an opportunity for public testimony or not?
Chair.
Representative Tamar.
I apologize. You missed my introductory remarks, but I thank you. And talked about what a wonderful representative you were to lead the Republican. The process was going to be that I was going to introduce the bill, which I've done, and Mr. Carter would go through the spreadsheet. we've completed that, and so what I was wanting to do next was to go through the amendments to the bill and then have public testimony. After we've completed that, then we'll vote on the bill.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Cole.
Representative Tamar, you're a wonderful chair, so I think that's a great plan.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions of Representative Tamar?
Process. We have a number of amendments here. I'd like to first move the author's amendment, which is the A-10 amendment. This basically makes some changes here that the court had requested on page 2 and 3 of the bill. Those are just technical changes. The amendment also, since we included the language regarding the Department of Public Safety and the Department of Corrections on lobbyists, we also included the same language for the Post Board and also for the Board of Public Defense. As you see, there's a number of changes on line 118 of the amendment, and this is all from the court, and this is all deals with the payables list and making sure that all of the language fits in statute. So it's, in essence, it's just updating and cross-referencing because we are creating a new subdivision and statute. It does not change current law. I believe that's all that this amendment, which line is that? On page 7 of the bill, we just deleted, a language on the reentry program to say that the OJP must consider reentry programs, and we're leaving it at that. So the OJP can decide which reentry programs they want to fund statewide. And we're deleting page 8 of line 19 through 22, OJP believes that this is not needed in the bill, so we've taken that out. And that's it. So I would move the A-10 amendment. All those in favor, is there any discussion on the amendment? All those in favor of the amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That amendment prevails. Then we have the A-1 amendment, and I don't have authors.
Fine, Mr. Chair.
Oh, I do. Representative Cole.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, the A-1 amendment would delete Article 2, Section 27 from the bill. This is that Representative Smith's provision regarding judgment interest rates. Members, when this bill came before us, I pointed out that it had not been to a single policy committee, either here in the House or in the Senate. There is significant policy here, and I really don't think it belongs in this bill. it maybe belongs in, I don't know if Chairman Mullery is having an omnibus civil justice bill, or if he's sending bills on their own. It either belongs there, or it belongs in Representative Hillstrom's bill. It is clearly a policy issue and shouldn't be a part of this bill. I know there are a number of groups and interested parties who are concerned about this provision, and they really haven't had an opportunity to have those issues aired out. So, members, I would encourage you to vote to take this out. It will not only, I think, make this bill better, it will also prevent a probable floor motion to re-refer to other committees, and that we can save a little time on the floor.
And discussion, Representative Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This provision has had a fair hearing. It has had testimony. It's in the proper place. Minnesotans deserve a fair rate of interest on their judgments, and I oppose the motion, the amendment.
Any other discussion? Representative Cole.
Mr. Chair, I absolutely agree that Minnesotans deserve a fair rate of interest, and I would suggest that we should have a debate about what is fair and what isn't, and that debate has not happened. There was one witness who testified in your committee, your finance committee, Mr. Chair, and this has not been aired either in the House or in the Senate with regard to the policy issue. So, members, I certainly agree that individuals who receive judgments in our courts ought to have receive a fair rate of interest. And that's the debate that should be had. That's the policy debate, and that debate hasn't happened. So I urge your support.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the motion by Representative Coles to remove this section from the bill signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed,
no.
The motion does not prevail. The next amendment is the A2. Oh, that's the old one. Okay. The next one is the A3 amendment. We're just going to take these in order. Representative Coles.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Bear with me while I... thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, the A3 amendment would delete a single sentence on page 14 of the bill, lines 15 to 17. Members, Chair Paymar is suggesting that the Department of Corrections come up with at least a 1% savings in per diem. The bill, however, takes away a tool that the department could use to accomplish some of those savings. I don't think that we should be tying the department's hands in this regard. What the amendment would do is it would allow the department to consider. It would not require that they reduce treatment beds, but would allow the department to consider reducing treatment beds as it looks for ways to save costs to meet the goal of the 1% reduction in per diem goal that's been set in the bill. I think it's a fairly modest amendment. There's no corrections hasn't come to tell me that that's what they intend to do, but I just think taking these tools away from the department when we're asking them to cut costs and make savings is problematic, and so members, I'd urge your support.
Discussion. Representative Hillstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would actually encourage members to vote in opposition to the A3 amendment. Members, we've seen consistently over time that chemical dependency is a major reason for folks to end up incarcerated and then relapse. They end up back incarcerated. And so if we want to actually reduce the number of folks coming back, we need to make certain that we actually increase the number of treatment beds, not reduce them.
Members, I was any other discussion? I would also urge a no vote, respectfully. I think that we have some language in the bill that asks the Department of Corrections to look at doing at how they conduct treatment in the prison. I've had some concerns about whether it makes sense to have treatment early on during someone's incarceration, and maybe some of it should be more focused towards the end. We've had some, I think, interesting discussion in this committee about whether long-term or short-term treatment is most effective. The research is split on that. So I think by asking the DOC to do that, they may end up with some savings in the long run, but I think this would be the wrong thing to do to eliminate treatment beds. There's currently a huge waiting list for offenders to get into treatment in almost all of our facilities, I believe. So I would hope that the committee would vote this amendment down. Any further discussion? All those in favor, seeing none, all those in favor of the A3 amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
That amendment does not prevail. The next one is Representative Foles.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Maybe I'll have a little bit better luck with this one. Mr. Chair, members, the A4, I would move the A4 amendment. The A4 amendment members simply asks the department to consider any ongoing cost to the state and to our general fund for the provision provided on page 16, lines 15 through 21, which the chair is requiring in the bill that the commissioner apply for all available grants for federal funds under the Stimulus Act and the Second Chance Act. As members know, I have continued and ongoing concerns about the ongoing effects of taking one-time money and what that does for our budget. And all that the amendment here would do is it wouldn't change the requirement that they apply for the grant, but it would say before they accept it, they have to consider what the ongoing implications of taking that money may be for our state finances. Members, I think this is a fairly modest amendment, I would hope you'd be able to support me on this one.
Discussion to the A4 amendment. Representative Liebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I would like to propose an oral amendment to the A4 amendment. I see that Representative Severson wanted to address it. Maybe you should let him address it first, and then I'll make my oral amendment.
Representative Severson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. And just to this issue, I think, we've run into this with some of our local mandates to our counties where we've got a maintenance of effort, and we've got them tied around the axle, so we can't pull back any of that funding or take any of these mandates out because of the maintenance of effort. That's the same thing we're running into on the federal side here. When we get these programs tied up with federal dollars and become dependent upon these federal dollars, how do we then, after a two-year process, drop off the edge of the earth and try and bring those dollars back in? So I think it's a wise provision. It's a good amendment in that we actually say, look, before you commit to taking these funds, what kind of ongoing costs are you going to have, and are you going to be able to sustain those costs, and what kind of cliff are you going to fall off of after the program? So I would strongly ask you to support this amendment.
Representative Liebling, you have an amendment to
the
amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would propose to amend the amendment on line 1.4 by striking the words prior to and inserting the word when. And then on line 1.5, striking the words consider all and insert report to the legislature be expected. So the amendment would then read, when accepting a federal grant, the commissioner must report to the legislature the expected ongoing costs to the state after the grant funds are exhausted.
Does everyone have the language? And Liebling has. Is moving to amend the A4 amendment. Representative Cole.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Representative Liebling, I appreciate the effort. I sincerely do. I'm concerned, however, that my concern is that the commissioner applying for and then taking this money is binding the legislature going forward. And what your amendment to this amendment does is it basically says, you got to apply for it. You got to take it, regardless of what those strings might be. You got to let us know what those strings are, and then we got to figure it out down the road. And so I think your amendment to my amendment actually got to my amendment. Maybe that's your intent, and that's fine. I understand that. But I'm concerned about that very issue, and all that my amendment is doing is asking the commissioner to be thoughtful about that when applying for those grants. And so I'm unwilling to I'll be voting against your amendment to the amendment, and I hope members will as well, and then either vote the A4 amendment up or down.
Mr. Chair.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Representative Coles. When I read your amendment, I wasn't sure if what you were trying to do was give the commissioner an out, because it wasn't very clear. And if you look at the bill says the commissioner must apply for all available grants. And then what your amendment says is that before the commissioner does that, the commissioner has to just consider the cost. It doesn't say, you know, what that means, whether that means that the commissioner could then ignore our directives to that we're saying must apply. And so my intention here is to keep, I think I'm clarifying, apparently you were doing what I was afraid you might be doing, but I wasn't sure you were doing, but I kind of look at this the other way. I think we're in a situation right now, although I certainly understand the concerns and the concern that Representative Severson expressed. I think we all share that concern, but I think it's very important right now that we accept the funds that are coming to us to the maximum extent we can and use those, hopefully, to do some reform and kind of figure out how to go forward. But I do not want to give the commissioner the authority to simply reject the funds because the commissioner thinks that if there are going to be some tails there. I want that to be our decision, and that's why I would say tell us what those costs are going to be, report them back to us, and then we will have the authority to decide what to do at that point. So that's my intention in changing the language here, and sorry if we don't agree on that.
Mr. Chair, very briefly, and just to be clear, Representative Liebling, it absolutely was my intent to provide the commissioner an out. So we do very much disagree on this, and I would hope you would consider withdrawing your amendment to the amendment and just voting mine down if that's how you feel. But we can proceed however you wish. I'd urge members to vote no on the Liebling amendment to my amendment.
Further discussion on the Liebling amendment. I would urge members to support the Liebling Amendment. I have some grave concerns about us not applying for this money. I guess I don't share quite the concerns about the strings when it comes to the Department of Corrections. And I think we have a tremendous problem here with this budget. It's only going to get worse as we go through the legislative session. This money is critical, and we need it. I'm hopeful that the economy will improve, and we won't be reliant on, and we'll be able to take care of some of the problems when the federal stimulus money goes away. So I think the Liebling Amendment is a good change to the Coles Amendment. I appreciate the spirit of the Coles Amendment, but hope we would adopt the Liebling Amendment. Any further discussion? All those in favor of the Liebling Amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
That motion prevails. Now we have...
Chair, let's withdraw the A4 amendment.
Representative Coles withdraws the A4 amendment. We then have the A5 amendment. Representative Coles.
Chair, I may have to phone a friend and have you either... Mr. Diebel or Ms. Perius helped me with this. My intent with this amendment, Mr. Chair and members, the governor's recommendation to change the corrections pension fund and those who are eligible for it is something that many of us have expressed concerns about. But what this amendment would, the intent of the amendment, and I hope that staff can help me out if I misstate anything here. The intent of the amendment is to allow the individuals who are currently in the correctional workers plan to stay there. But on a going forward basis, individuals that would have been kept out of the plan previously basically would revert back to previous law. And so, Mr. Chair, if I've misstated what the amendment does, I'd love for staff to correct me so that we're clear about what we're trying to do here.
Okay. No calls. I believe you're correct in describing the amendment.
So members, just to be clear, then. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, just to be clear, I would with this amendment, I would propose that the correctional workers who are currently in the plan essentially be grandfathered and be left in the plan, and so the change would happen on a going forward basis. Members, the basis for this, while I share the concern that many have about sort of going back on promises made, we have, as I think everybody around this table knows, we have serious long-term problems with our public pensions. We have huge liabilities, unfunded liabilities, that we need to start to be serious about addressing. And we've made some steps in the various pension bills over the last couple of years to address some of those. But I think that we need to be thoughtful about who we're letting in and when. So, members, I'd urge your support. I know people have strong opinions on this, and this was an attempt to try to find the middle ground keep the people who are currently in the plan there, but address this going forward. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And to the amendment, I shared a little bit in the committee previously that I've talked to some individuals that are engaged in this process. One correction officer in particular took me aside and talked to me for some time on this issue and expounded on the reason for this particular provision at age 55, and it wasn't what I thought. Particularly, it was that once you get past the age of 55, it becomes dubious as to whether you can actually go to the assistance of another officer who's being assaulted by other guards. That becomes a major issue. And so it's really a safety in the workplace issue. He also said that there was some reluctance on some of the other guards' process to endorse this because they felt like this was just a nipping away at their benefits, and it was, for my part, was trying to ensure them we understood their plight, that this was something that was given because 30 years in the prison system working with guards on a one-on-one is going to take its toll, and we understand that. And so the intent was never to begin to encroach upon their retirement system. It was more, in this particular case, to try and right a wrong that was done administratively in the past. And so I think Representative Coles has brought a good amendment forward here. It keeps those people whole who are currently under that system and begins to do some reforms to save the dollars in the out years that we need to do to bring this more in line with the original policy. And I would ask for your support on the amendment.
Any other discussion on the amendment? Members, I would urge you to oppose the amendment. I do think what Representative Coles is doing here is certainly better than what the governor recommended, which would have knocked out all of the employees who are currently getting the benefit from getting it. So it's an improvement from the governor's recommendations, but I would just state that I would hope that we would allow the bargaining unit work and negotiate with management on this issue. I think labor gets that there probably needs to be some changes for new hires. But I think this is best left for that negotiation. So I would respectfully ask that you defeat the A5 amendment. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor of the amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
That amendment does not prevail. Representative Hillstrom, you have the A7 amendment.
I do, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair and members, the A7 amendment is a hiring freeze, and basically it is attempting to put into place in the bill the recommendation from the governor about only hiring essential or folks that would deal with directly with public safety. So this would say that the commissioner may not hire new employees unless the commissioner certifies to the commissioner of finance that the position is essential to maintaining public safety or the safety of the institutional staff, and that the commissioner of finance authorizes the new hire. And this prohibition does not apply to transfers or promotion of the current department employees.
Good. Any discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor of the amendments? Representative Cole.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I haven't had a chance to review this yet. Representative Hillstrom, I know this is the governor's stated policy, but I guess the question I have, Representative Hillstrom, is if we adopt this amendment, do we have a situation potentially where we have the Commissioner of Finance second-guessing the Commissioner of Public Safety about what, you know, what's vital for public safety?
Representative Hillstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Coles, this is actually meant to not deal with things like prison guards, but this is the Department of Corrections.
Representative Coles.
I'm not sure that I followed the response, Mr. Chair. Maybe
Representative Coles.
Try again, Representative Coles.
Thank you. Representative Coles, this is strictly within the Department of Corrections on page 12. And this just says, so basically it isn't dealing with the prison guards, the folks that are dealing directly with the prisoners. It's basically the other staff.
Mr. Chairman,
Representative
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hillstrom, thank you. Okay, so I understand you're saying here that this doesn't deal with prison guards, but there's nothing in the amendment that says that if all of a sudden we lose 24 guards at one of our facilities, and the warden there, along with the Commissioner of Corrections, say we need to replace 24 guards. Do we have a situation where Commissioner of Finance may be able to say, no, I think we only need 18, not 24.
Representative Hilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, that is what item number one was for, putting into place essential positions that are essential to maintain public safety or the safety of the institutional staff. That was the purpose of item number one. Representative Cole.
Oh, Mr. Chair and members, Representative Hillstrom, I don't know that, I think I understand where you're going with this, but I'm not sure that the amendment really works. As I read it, there's an and there on line 1.9, and so the Commissioner of Corrections gets to say, I need 24 guards, and the Commissioner of Finance then gets to second guess the Commissioner of Corrections, because you have an and there, Representative Hillstrom, and so members, I think I probably agree with the spirit of the amendment, but I'm just not sure it works. I think maybe Representative Hillstrom, we should not put this on at this time, and maybe work on this a little bit more as the bill moves forward.
Mr. Chair and Representative Coles, I'm happy to withdraw the amendment and see if we can't work it out to get to the intent, and there's lots of time between now and the time the bill becomes law.
Thank you, Representative.
Representative Hillstrom withdraws the A7 amendment. We now have the A8 amendment, which is my amendment, and this removes language on page 55 of the bill. It deletes section 10 because section 10 is really the language regarding the short-term offender program, which is going to be phased out, so it needs to come out of the bill. Any discussion on that amendment?
I just feel like voting no since you voted no on my amendment.
All those in favor of the amendment signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed?
No.
that amendment prevails. The A9 amendment is my amendment on page 2. We are the amendment deletes lines 9 through 34. This is the language on judicial and referee vacancies, and it inserts the language that you see on the A9. So what we are doing here is we are deleting the section in statute that says that the governor must appoint a new judge within 90 days of a vacancy. But we are giving the Supreme Court the authority to make appointments. They do have to examine alternative options such as temporarily suspending certification of the vacant position or assigning a retired judge to temporarily fill the position. And if they don't do it, they are to report to the legislature on why those alternatives were rejected. I met with the court, and this was some compromise language that I think sends the statement that we want to the court about filling vacancies, but also provide some latitude to them. Do people understand the amendment? Representative Severson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and just some clarification. So is the pool of judges that would be appointed these vacant positions, are they currently judges, sitting judges, or not sitting, but having had experience on the bench, or would these be lawyers who are in a pool, or what would that pool that the Supreme Court would draw from, where would they be drawn from?
Representative Stevenson, they would be lawyers that the or judicial referees or retired judges, whoever the governor chose to appoint and the court recommended.
Oh, maybe I'm misunderstanding this, Mr. Chair. So what we're saying here is that this is a vacated position that the judge is going or the governor is going to make an appointment for. Not the Supreme Court.
Representative Severson, the language that I think might be confusing is on lines 1-5 through 1-7, and that's where you certify that there is a judicial vacancy.
Right.
The same process for filling the vacancy in statute would apply, except that the governor would not be required to do it within 90 days.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Ms. Curious, am I getting all that right as the drafter of this signed amendment? Okay. Any other questions on amendment, Representative Coles?
Mr. Chair, I just wanted to thank you for this amendment. I think this is an improvement over what was in the bill, so I appreciate your work on this amendment. Every member should support it.
Thank you. Any further discussion? All those in favor of the A9 amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion prevails. The A11 amendment is Representative Cornish.
Mr. Chair and members, this amendment concerns the post board, and in looking at the cuts to the post board and the totality between the operations and the grants, it looked like it was a little heavy, and even though the grants are an integral part of the mission of post, and so to even it off a little bit, I would propose that we take about half of the cuts away to the operational budget. And this amendment does that, I believe, and I would like our fiscal analyst, Mr. Carger, to weed through it rather than just say, trust me on this one.
Mr. Carger, do you want to explain the amendment?
This complicated amendment does not deal with millions of dollars. It deals with 38,000, and it involves 36 numbers, and you can see why mistakes are made with the numbers after looking at this amendment. But it's simply, it deals with reducing the post board reduction to the central office on the spreadsheet by $19,000 a year for a total of $38,000. And to balance the bill, it the $38,000 or the $19,000 comes from the OJP, or the Office of Justice Program, their reduction.
Is there any discussion?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Cornish, could you entertain a friendly amendment to merge the private detective boards? I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Okay. Is there any other questions? Representative Lee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wonder if Representative Cornish would give us a little explanation. I mean, it's a small amount of money. You must have something you're trying to buy here.
No, Representative Lee, Mr. Chair, it is a small organization, and even a small amount of money, it seems like it can affect it quite heavily, and they do have a real important mission, and they've created efficiencies and lost about three positions in the last few years by cutting, and they've already dropped some of the tracking of the law enforcement credits that they used to keep for the officers, and so if we cut them much more, they're not going to be able to perform the mission that they were set out to in keeping a professional police force for the state and, you know, doing their public safety job. So it's an important amendment to me and to post, because it affects all the police departments in the state.
Members, I would encourage a yes vote on the Cornish Amendment. Any further discussion? All those in favor of the amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion prevails. That is the end of the amendments, members. We're now... Representative Cole?
Could I ask Representative Cornish to reoffer a couple of mine?
At this time, we'll entertain any members of the audience who wish to address the committee before we vote on the bill. Mr. Wiggins, did you want, or Commissioner, did you want to address the committee on both of you? Okay, please introduce yourself for the record then.
Mr. Chairman and members, good evening. My name is Scott Wiggins. I'm the Director of the Division of Emergency Communication Networks at the Minnesota Department of Public Safety. Just a few comments with regard to some language that's in this the DE1 amendment, Mr. Chairman. First, I greatly appreciate your support and the committee's support of the funding to migrate our 1940s telecommunications emergency system to a next generation network. Appreciate the funding in the bill for that. And I appreciate also the $5 million in the bill that allows us to transition or to help to transition some local communities onto the ARMR system. Mr. Chairman, as you know, we've had a couple of meetings over the last couple of days with regard to the language, specifically on page 10 of the bill and also specifically on page 53 of the bill. And that's what my comments are around this evening, Mr. Chairman. Again, while we appreciate the $5 million and the expanded discretion that you give the Commissioner of the Department of Public Safety and how those funds can be spent, we would ask that the new language on page 53 of the bill be stricken so that really the existing law remains in place. The concern by the agency, Mr. Chairman, is that the additional discretion given to the commissioner may actually allow him to spend funds inconsistent with federal law. Further, Mr. Chair and members, as you may have heard me testify in the past, we recently, in November of last year, went through a bond sale to continue the build-out of the ARMR system. And each of the rating agencies in which we dealt with during that bond sale asked a very specific question in terms of how the funds in the 911 special revenue account are spent. And this new language, Mr. Chairman, would just concerns me in that it just would potentially give the rating agencies a reason to lower our bond rating because it further dilutes how the funds can be spent. And that's the purpose of my testimony here this evening, Mr. Chairman, is to indicate that we're concerned about that new language on page 53 of the bill, and we ask that the language on page 10 just remain the $5 million for local enhancement grants to help the transition to communities onto the ARMR system.
Deputy Commissioner, did you want to make a comment?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, just briefly, I just wanted to say, again, on behalf of the Commissioner's Office, thank you for considering that flexibility in spending these funds. We do appreciate that effort. But we agree with Mr. Wiggins that expanding the purpose of these funds could jeopardize our bond rating, and we're concerned about that.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. Just would like to point out, thank you for your testimony, that to the committee that... this is very permissive language. It sunsets in 2 years. We're not asking the commissioner to do this or not. We've had several meetings. I guess we disagree about about Mr. Wiggins' interpretation about bond counsel's view of this language, and we don't know what's down the road here as we move ahead with this bill, and we just wanted to have that flexibility there, and we see no problems with having the language in the bill. But thank you for your testimony. Anyone else want to address the committee on any item in the bill?
Please introduce yourself for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Lynn Dingle. I'm the Deputy Commissioner in the Department of Corrections. First of all, I want to thank you for allowing some comments on this bill. We do realize how difficult your job has been. With that said, our concern is that the bill currently cuts an additional $25 million to our budget over the governor's proposal. Those that are committed to serve prison time in our state are most dangerous and violent offenders with significant prior convictions. Having previously been a warden for 12 years at four different facilities and having lived through previous budget reductions, I can tell you personally that it will be almost impossible for the facilities to maintain the safety of the staff working there, and it will be placed in danger by these kinds of cuts. This would also cut into our supervising agents in the community and their safety. So with that said, thank you again for the opportunity to share our concerns.
Thank you for your testimony. I just would like to add that a lot of the targeted per diem that the Department of Corrections attempted to said that they would meet, they have not been able to meet those reductions. I think that there is room here for reductions. I think in the bill we've laid out a lot of opportunities for the Department of Corrections to accomplish that. So I appreciate your comments, and we'll see if the bill moves forward. Thank you.
I just wanted to give a couple of examples of the high per diems that we could be taking a look at. For example, we have very few adult males at the Red Wing facility, and the current charge is $228.51, which means that the Department of Corrections is using $83,406 per year per offender. Now, Oak Park Heights is only $153.61 per day, which is $58,871. So just by moving a small number of offenders from Red Wing even to Oak Park Heights would dramatically reduce per diem rates, Mr. Chair. So I think that there is definitely some flexibility in the Department of Corrections.
Any other? Anyone else like to address the committee? Okay. Then is there any discussion on the bill? Oh, Representative Cole.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, just a brief comment. Thank you for your efforts here. I want to specifically thank you for your efforts to try to help the courts out. That's an issue that, as you know, Mr. Chair, is something that I care about. Excuse me, and is important to me. So I appreciate your efforts there. I'm concerned, Mr. Chair, about a couple pieces of this bill. I'm going to point out two, and I could probably talk about more. While I absolutely appreciate the effort with the courts, I do have some concerns about the size of the fee increase that exists in this bill. And I understand why it's here, but we're raising upwards of $28 million in new fees in this bill. And again, I understand why you did it, and I appreciate the results of that. I think that there might be some better ways, Mr. Chair, to juggle the money, if you will, and help the courts without raising $28 million of fees. Secondly, as Deputy Commissioner Dingle said, Corrections is facing $25 million of cuts, and while I don't necessarily disagree with everything Representative Hill says, that's a big cut for Corrections, but I'm very concerned about the impact that's going to have on public safety. Mr. Chair, I don't envy your task in having to put together a bill. I applaud you, Mr. Chair, for getting a better target than I thought you would get, and I know that you worked hard after you got the initial target to try to get some additional money, and I appreciate that. I still think that we're going deeper in public safety than we should be going, and I do question some of the choices made, some of the priority choices made by you. I respect those. I differ with you on some of those. I appreciate your efforts. I'm going to be voting no on the bill. I hope if the bill doesn't pass, we can sit down and roll up our sleeves and try to come up with something that can pass with bipartisan support. But Mr. Chair, we got a long road ahead of us. I recognize that, and this is the first of the first of many stops for this bill. I would urge members to vote no.
Any other discussion? Let me just point out before seeing that, I just want to make this responder simple. I appreciate the comments on the fees. That's not my first choice either. I would just add, relative to the Department of Corrections, that we're asking them to make less than a 1% cut. Less than a 1% cut in a $1 billion bureaucracy. And, there are a lot of companies and businesses in Minnesota that are laying people off, that are hurting right now, and they're making cuts and they're making efficiencies. That's all we're asking the Department of Corrections to do. And as I said earlier, if you were constructing the bill, you might have done it differently. But I hope that you take my best state effort to construct the bill that ensures the public safety and of the citizens of the state of Minnesota. Then I will renew my motion to pass House File 1657 as amended to the Finance Committee. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
That motion prevails. Thank you, members. We're adjourned.